Would you build a house without a foundation? Would you have a child and not name it? Would you let a stranger squat on your property? No, of course not. So why should the internet be any different? Every week, speak with top domain experts. Learn how to make money with domains. Know your legal rights. Each week, join our expert host to be master of your domain. Right here on Domain Master.
And here we are for Domain Masters on WebmasterRadio.fm. Today's May 14th, 2008. And we've got a great show today put together. Where you can be the master of your domain. We've got Ross Rader of Two Cows joining us, a good friend and longtime participant in the domain name industry. He's the director of retail services at Two Cows, and he's also a board of directors member at CIRA, which is the .ca registry. And a long-time history with ICANN Process. So when we come back from the break, we'll have online Ross Rader of Two Cows. I'm looking forward to a great interview today on WebmasterRadio.fm. Thanks for joining us so you can be the master of your domain.
You're just minutes away from more Domain Masters.
The question is, are you still master of your domain?
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our coverage of the 17th Annual Golf Invitational, brought to you by SureHits.com. When looking for the right ad network, there seem to be unlimited choices. Go with the only network that targets the insurance industry, SureHits.com. Let's head down to the fairway.
Here we are at the 18th hole.
Odd choice for Ken Mitchum to not go with SureHits.com here. I mean, they are the only ad network that targets the insurance industry.
Definitely a strange choice to not pick the best option for publishers in the finest category, but, oh, here's a swing.
Oh, look out, folks. Terrible slice into the woods.
Jeff Burns now stepping up to the fairway.
And it looks like he's already chosen SureHits.com. Clearly the best choice since they pay more for quality traffic.
And the swing. Oh, my. He crushes it.
When getting ready to make your drive, go with a sure thing. SureHits.com. For insurance, it's Sure Hits.
Hey, what's that sound coming from your computer?
That's the sound of me making money with referback.com. They've shown me how to... Referback.com show me how to turn clicks on my existing site into cash. Referback gives you free banners, mailers, even your own personal account manager.
Oh, can they help me make money off my blog, too?
Absolutely. Your websites, your blogs, they can all be making you money. You can even earn 50% commission on your first month. Put some into your website. Just visit referback.com.
Need help improving your PPC campaigns? Tired of spending all your time swamped with spreadsheets and manual updates? Turn to Adapt SEM software to optimize your campaigns and to reach your goals. Adapt SEM is one of the most affordable and reliable tools on the market for improving PPC campaigns. Adapt SEM not only optimizes your bids, but also gives you keyword suggestions, competitive research, and helps to test ads, all in one place at flat rate pricing and no long-term commitments. Learn how Adapt SEM can help manage your PPC campaigns better. Check out our free webinar at adapt.com/webmasterradio. Sign up now for a free personal tour. adapt.com/webmasterradio.
Welcome to Madame Natalia's. You've come to have your future told, no?
Yeah, you see, I'm looking for the right life insurance affiliate program, and I have...
Say no more. Huh? I see you're working with AccuQuote.
AccuQuote?
Yes, AccuQuote. They are the nation's premier life insurance brokerage.
Go on.
AccuQuote will create custom creatives for you to optimize your eCPM, and they will offer you the highest payout for this offer anywhere.
So when's all this going to happen?
As soon as you visit AccuQuote.com.
For life insurance, visit AccuQuote.com.
This is Rainmaker.
As I told everyone, you know, we got you a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're happy with this guy.
He massages me.
Yep.
I like that.
Her shoulders.
Yes. Clarify not my, yes, not my JJ.
according to Oprah.
No for JJ rubbing.
Jesus. Rainmaker.
Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Entertainment Channel.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Find Webmaster Radio now on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Add us today from the WebmasterRadio.fm homepage.
Now, back to Domain Masters.
You're still master of your domain.
Yes, master of my domain.
Here's your host.
Hello, this is Jonathan Frakes. I'm filling in for Monty Khan this week on Domain Masters. And we've got a very exciting show today. I'm very pleased to announce that we've got Ross Rader, a longtime internet user, a longtime internet proponent, and he's the director of retail services at Two Cows. He's also a board of directors member at the CIRA, the CIRA, which is the registry for .ca. And we're going to talk a little bit about some interesting sort of things to be expecting this year. Ross, are you on the line?
I'm here, Jonathan. How are you tonight?
I am great. Thank you so much for being a guest this week. We're very honored to have you. It's a big privilege. Hey, before we start talking about all the different things we can talk about with ICANN and the new top-level domains, I just wanted to personally tell you that there was something that attracted me to having you on this week, which is this fantastic philanthropic work you're doing with this cycle ride from coast to coast in Canada. It's impressive, and I wanted to give you a chance to tell people about it and maybe where they might be able to take a look at what you're doing and contribute.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Certainly, it's a pretty exciting quote-unquote project for me. We'll be riding across Canada. There's 50 of us, actually, that are going to be doing this trip, supported by somewhere to the order of 20 volunteers. We have 6 tractor trailers, 4 RVs, a fleet of support vehicles, and really we're just going to be making a dash to get across Canada, the second largest country in the world, as quickly as we can. The schedule that we've worked out right now is about 19 days. And we're doing this to support childhood cancer charities within Canada. Really, it's always been a charity that's been near and dear to me. So when I had first come across the opportunity to make the trip, I jumped at it. So certainly, we can definitely use as much support on this endeavor as we can, whether it be with volunteers to help us out, people that want to ride along with us. And, of course, cash is always great, and a donation can be made at my webpage, of course.
Well, I checked it out. It's 15 clicks for those of you who aren't going to hop on a bike. I myself contributed, and I'd encourage people to. Tell me what are you thinking wanting to ride your bike across Canada in 19 days?
Well, it is a little bit crazy. I'm not sure that rational thought really entered into it, but what motivates me is really just the opportunity to help some children out that really desperately need some reprieve from what's a really terrible disease. I've lost family to cancer. Fortunately, everybody I've lost has been of age, if you will, and as terrible as the disease is as an adult, it's just that much worse as a child because there's the innocence there that gets affected. So if I can somehow make their lives a little bit better, send them to camp for a week or two, or somehow get them some better treatments, or hopefully someday cure this disease, then I'm going to jump all over it. And certainly so far, the support from the internet community, I've been doing most of my fundraising online, has just been outstanding. I'm about a third of the way to my fundraising goal now, which means I'm just shy of about $25,000 in donations.
That's excellent. I'm telling you. I've sponsored you in the past. You've certainly done smaller rides, but this is a very large undertaking. So that's awesome. Now, how will this ride work?
It's a pretty logistically, it's a nightmare. We have something like 65 different trip segments. And really, at its core, we split up our 50 riders into 3 different teams. So for the first little bit of the ride through the hilly parts across the Rocky Mountains, We're going to be riding 24 hours a day, 4 hours at a time. So each team will ride 4 hours, meet up with the next team, which would then continue on with the journey. And that'll just give us all an opportunity to rest a little bit and replenish food and get some sleep and that sort of a thing. When we get to the flatter parts of the country, we actually start riding every single inch of the way. We get rid of the relay and just we ride for 200-300 kilometers at a time. That'll take us all day, and we stop, we sleep a little bit, and start it back 6 o'clock the next morning. You know, with the support vehicles, it'll be a lot easier. You know, all of our food will be handed to us out of the window of a passing car. You know, all the volunteers will be taking care of our laundry and sleeping accommodations and all of that along the way. And really just kind of going to help us focus on doing the ride and making sure that we get to our demarcation points where we'll be doing various charity events. In some cities, we'll be having local rides that will take us throughout the town. In other cities, we'll be actually visiting cancer hospitals and meeting with patients. So, you know, all in all, it's a huge undertaking. I'm just incredibly nervous sick about the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine. Well, you know, again, on behalf of, you know, all the kids who are going to help out with this and all the people who are doing cancer research and, you know, it's obviously something very important. It's, you know, thank you on behalf of everyone you're going to be helping with this. It's very generous of you to donate your time.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a great cause.
How can the listeners who are you know, hearing this, how can they help, you know, maybe donate or support you?
The best way to donate is to visit our online donation tool that'll allow you to make a donation via credit card. And just point your web browser at 2008.sncr.com/ross/donate.html. And if that wasn't clear enough, just send me an email to ross@twocows.com and I'll point you in the right direction. And certainly if you have any interest in joining us at some point, cheering us on, or even volunteering, send me an email and I'll make sure you get in touch with the right people.
Excellent. Well, and we do have a lot of listeners and fans of the show that listen. Up in Canada, it's obviously a very large country, and there's a lot of very innovative domainers in Canada. So that may be that you hear from some of the folks. Definitely a great group of people that I've met in the Canadian domainer community.
It's almost where the industry started up here. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So the next kind of area, you know, the hardest part about having somebody with your experience and tenure in the industry is to figure out where the heck to start to talk about subjects.
I was definitely thinking about that on my drive home tonight. It was interesting. It's kind of replaying some of the stories in my head, like registering my first domain back in 1993 or 1994 for a customer. It was just like, you know, where do you start? It's a great question.
Well, so that's a good place. So usually one of the questions we start with is, you know, how long have you been working with domains? And it sounds like you answered that. You said 93?
93 was the first time I had to get my feet wet. I was working at an ISP. Twocows used to be an ISP back in the day. And a customer called me up, said, I need some web space, and I want a domain registration. And we hadn't really sold either before, but I knew I could figure it out. So I did some research, figured out what Internic was all about, what Network Solutions was all about, and figured out how to set up some storage space on a web server for them, and figured out a price, and I registered 3 domain names for him and gave him 5 megs of hosting and set him up with DNS service for $2,500.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea what this stuff was worth back then. But one of the domains was awesome, too. It was punk.com. I checked into it not too long ago, and he'd let it lapse at some point. So he probably didn't profit from it.
Well, unfortunately, the case. But I have noticed in some preliminary research, I think Twocows has one of the earliest, I think one of the top 3 earliest .com domains. I think it's think.com under management there. You certainly have a great set of customers, etc.
We've been building the business as we originally built the business as resellers for network solutions. I'm certain we have customers that would go back as far as 95, 96, and then you count kind of customers that transfer in through our current OpenSRS business. And yeah, so it's not surprising to hear that we've got some really old names in there.
Well, and part of my exposure to getting the opportunity to meet with you and work with you on some of the improvement things that we're doing, obviously you're a board of director member with CIRA, and you've been involved with ICANN. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with ICANN, what we can expect this year, some of the things that are going on in current events?
Yeah, sure. I've been taking a little bit of a vacation from ICANN. Anybody that's involved with ICANN will know what I'm talking about, the need to take a vacation from time to time. Certainly, it's not something I can walk away from, though, so it's interesting to take a more observational view of what's going on over there. The who is discussion, that's kind of an ongoing, endless debate between the privacy advocates and the intellectual property lawyers and the big business interests. I'm not certain that that issue will ever be resolved. It's certainly now been going on for, what, 7-8 years of back and forth policy ping pong. So, I wouldn't count on, I'm not going to make any further bets on that issue closing off in my lifetime. One of the more interesting issues that has popped up recently within the GNSO, which is the policy body of ICANN that deals with generic top-level domains versus country codes, is their recent move towards taking a look at the issues of front-running and fast locks. Of course, front-running is when a registrar or a reseller takes advantage of the domain search information for the purpose of warehousing domains on behalf of customers. Or not on behalf of customers, but in opposition to their customers. So they're almost basically stealing domains from the customers by registering them for themselves. So it's really good to see the GNSO kind of picking that up. It's a meaty subject. There's certainly some debate as to how prevalent the activity is and whether it merits the attention of the GNSO, but I think that at the very least, it's a set of questions that we should give a little bit of airtime to at the very least. And Fastlux is another interesting one that the GNSO is looking at. Certainly the traditional operation of a DNS server isn't really something that falls within ICANN's policy mandate. You don't need a license to run a DNS server, as I'm sure all of your listeners know. So it's interesting to see them pick up this set of issues because it's really, they're really geared their discussions around looking at best practices for DNS operators, which is all I can say is it's interesting. I don't know where this discussion is going to go, so it's definitely something that that I'll be keeping an eye on. And then kind of there's some internal stuff going on, which is perhaps only interesting to those inside the room. One of the issues is reform of the generic top-level domain supporting organization that I was talking about earlier. They're looking at how to best organize themselves or reorganize themselves to better support the interests of a broader range of stakeholders. A cynic would suggest that it's just another way of handing out fewer votes to fewer people, but we'll see where it ends up. And then, of course, another internal issue is whether or not the GNSO should start funding travel costs for lobbyists. That's sort of one that's always stuck in my craw a little bit because it means that registrants are, in effect, paying for people to go to the meetings and speak against their interests. So, it's definitely one that I'll always speak out on. So that's really, kind of what's big at ICANN.
How many of these meetings have you been to, just out of curiosity? I think there's been something like 31 or 32.
Yeah, Jonathan, it's easier for me to tell you how many I've missed. I honestly don't know. I don't know. There's been very few that I missed. I think the last time, The last time I missed, India was, I did miss the India meeting recently, so, but I would probably say at least 25 I've been to.
Wow.
They've well, that's, all put that's together, definitely a lot. Just like one non-stop meeting, I think.
Okay. Well, so you've got, we've got a quite a privilege here because your involvement with CIRA, and I understand there's some interesting things going on there. Can you tell us a little bit about what we might be seeing in .ca this year?
Yeah, certainly. One of the more exciting developments is just kind of a the fresh talent that CIRA has recently brought on board. With the new CEO coming in, there's a lot of new really exciting perspective that's being brought to some of the more traditional problems that have faced the .ca namespace. You know, things related to, for instance, the complexity of verifying national citizenship. So I really have a lot of hope that that the fresh perspective and the new blood and the fresh air in the room will really start to, you know, manifest itself for a way simpler and easier product for registrants to latch onto. You won't have this kind of endless bureaucracy that you've got to go through now to get a .ca name, which would be, I think, would just be great for the entire industry, whether it be supply side or the buy side.
So are you suggesting that it might open up to where it's not strictly limited to Canadians at some point?
I wouldn't go that far. I think the Canadianness of .ca is goes right to the heart of the mandate that we've received from the Canadian public. We've taken many consultations on that particular subject, and I don't think there's a real drive towards that. I'm more kind of telegraphing that I believe that the new management would just streamline a lot of the registration operations around it, whether it be as a registrar interfacing with the registry or as a potential registrant trying to buy a name. For instance, to give you an example, when you are asked to identify your status as a Canadian, one would think there's really two or three options. For instance, you're an individual, you're a company, and probably a few variations on that theme. We have 14 different options. One of them is the Queen. Right? There's only one person in the world that can answer that question affirmatively, but we ask every single registrant if they're the Queen. So there's things in there, easy things in there that we can pull out and just make for a way simpler product for everybody to latch onto. But, to answer your original question, no, I don't think the Canadian requirements are going to be going away anytime soon.
Okay. Well, and there's some changes going on with Whois, I understand. I don't know if you can talk about that because you're on the board of directors, but can you tell us anything about that? Or
Changes are coming for Whois. In a nutshell, a lot of the information that's currently just out in the wild publicly is going to be pulled back a bit. We'll see that policy implemented in June.
Okay, and as I understand, there was a recent sort of a milestone that the Canadian Registry hit.
We're in the big leagues now. .ca just recently registered its 1 millionth name back towards the end of April, I believe. Everything's just a blur now. I spent too much time on the bike and not enough time with my calendar. So we crossed the threshold over into the 1 million names territory, and big celebration. Everybody's quite pleased with the progress we're making. It's certainly been a huge growth story. With Canadians, .ca is a stronger preference than .com is. It's nice to see that momentum continuing and building.
Well, I certainly watch CA. I'm a big fan of the hockeys, and the lady is occasionally watches the figure skating, and of course there's curling and some of the other sports that we get to import, a lot of.
Like basketball.
And I notice in these sports arenas that the URLs that are posted are typically a .ca.
That's right. Or advertising on the TV, you'll see a lot of use of .ca. Certainly .com is still everywhere, and it is the gold standard when it comes to commercial operations and domain names. But we're not shy about using our .ca up here. you know, certainly a much orders of magnitude stronger brand than .us is, for instance.
Well, I won't split hairs with you on that one because I'm a very patriotic man, but it sounds like you are too. Let's agree to agree and disagree at the same time. So speaking of top-level domains, though, what's your take on the new top-level domain process? I think there's a lot of listeners who are kind of key to that.
That's definitely something that's going on. I'm surprised that I'd forgotten all about that. You know, it's we will see a process of allocation that you will be able to tell from a mile away that it was designed by a committee. It is complicated, probably not the most optimal solution, and I only hope at the end of it that the result is okay. I don't think we're going to see a great result, but I think we've got a fighting chance of making the results okay. There's just stuff in there that doesn't make a lot of sense, a lot of subjectivity, a lot of concessions that, in my opinion, don't really need to be made in today's day and age. But I think at the end of it, we may be in a place over the next 2 to 3 years where people with unique ideas about how a domain or how a top-level domain should be used we'll actually be able to get one and deploy it within the DNS and make use of it. Whether that be a commercial enterprise or not-for-profit or individual, really remains to be seen based on the rules that that come out. But my hope is that that we really are in a place where we can let 1,000 flowers bloom. That's the optimistic view. I'm not sure if we'll get the 1,000 flowers, but a couple dozen wouldn't be bad either.
So what do you think is going to be the control gate, though, on the number of TLDs that come out?
You're asking me to read the political tea leaves there. There may be any number of functions that get set forth as the gating mechanism. But really what it comes down to is what is the political landscape at that point in time. Certainly, for example, in the last round, the U.S. political landscape was really instrumental in moving that along. With the Democratic White House, it was just very progressive. We've seen that tightened up a little bit. The current administration is just a little bit tighter around those things. The application price is also going to come into play. The lower fees are, the more application fees we're going to see, or the more applications we're going to see. If it's going to cost $1 million just to see if you can get one, you may not get as many as you would if it was $10,000 or $50,000, like the last few rounds were. So we'll see. Some would submit that, a higher application fee would kind of act as some sort of quality control mechanism. I don't believe that. I think a lot of smart ideas have come from people with not a lot of money. And I'd really like to see those smart ideas get the best possible chance at succeeding in the market. So we'll see.
So Ross, that's good feedback. And I think that's my gauge too, is that the number of strings we'll see is going to be sort of negatively impacted by how high the fees are. So I completely agree with you. If it's low number of fees, we'll probably see a lot of applications from a lot of people. If it's smaller, then certainly that's not the case. We'll see tons. If it's a $10,000 application fee, we'll probably see just tons and tons of strings. And so that brings me into another part, which it sounds like there's a stage where the people who are doing the review are going to look at the collisions of strings. Like, let's say 15 different people put in for .wood.
To use a non-controversial example. Yes. this is where the process is suboptimal. These are the concessions that I was referring to earlier. I believe that there is really one or two efficient allocation mechanisms. Certainly an application process, a review process, which is essentially a beauty contest, isn't one of those efficient allocation mechanisms. What we're really talking about here, Jonathan, is carving up what, in my opinion, is a public resource. We're allocating slices of that resource for private use in some way, shape, or form. A lot of those private users are commercial users, and they stand to make windfall profits from this. Just like public spectrum, it's my opinion that the only efficient mechanism is some sort of an auction that forces those private users to pay what they believe their business model will support in exchange for a license to that resource. In this case, we're talking about top-level domains, of course. So going through a beauty contest, which has a challenge process in it, with a fixed application fee, what it really means is that the internet users are being sold short on this deal. Their prices aren't going to go down as a result of it. They're going to have to continue to pay their $6 this year, $7 next year, increasing for 7 of the next 15 years until a domain name is back to $35. That's no way of running this resource, in my opinion. So you want to get me going. I think ICANN is about to make a fairly big mistake. There's a bit of a giveaway going on here. I would love to see us move to auctions. I think the horse has left the barn, and it's just not going to happen. But as far as my opinion on the challenge stage, it's just another bad artifact of what is essentially a flawed process.
Sure. Well, it's definitely been an evolution, and certainly a lot of people putting a lot of effort behind turning it into something that will hopefully scale for everyone. But yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really hope that you're right with that. Certainly, there's been a lot of hours put into this. I always worry if there's enough people involved in ICANN to actually make good decisions around things like this. Certainly, we've heard a lot from registrars on this. Certainly, we've heard a lot from the registries on this. The business community has weighed in. But it's a big internet, right? And it's just not a big ICANN. I think at times the stakeholder involvement within ICANN is fairly thin. The subject matter is very dry and very thick, so it's not exactly exciting and interesting for the casual observer. I really hope that this isn't yet another one of those decisions that just kind of gets made by the special interests and slips by at the expense of the public.
Well, I'm grateful you haven't gone and found softer walls to beat your head against than staying involved with the ICANN process, because I've certainly seen you do a lot of good contributions. Now, the next ICANN meeting, for those who want to participate, is in Paris, France.
I think that's next month. End of June, yes, that's right.
And you'll be in great shape for this, obviously. Are you going to attend after your ride? You'll be in great shape.
I was going to say, that's right. My ride ends on June 20th. I've got a 2-day recovery turnaround, and then I have to hop on an overnight to Paris for the ICANN meeting. So I may be a little bit bleary-eyed by the time I get there.
Well, and so that means you're going to miss the Domainer meeting, which is the 19th and 20th in Paris at the same location.
Unfortunately,
it would have been nice to see you there. Well, let me ask you just one more question. One of the people in the chat room asked about the TBR for .ca. Can you tell us a little bit about that and and how that works and how people can participate in the TBR under .ca?
Yeah, the TBR is TBR stands for to be released. So it's, think of it as the drop for .ca. Right now, just like the .com drop, it's a registrar game, so you've got to participate through a registrar. There's a number of registrars, that'll help you participate in it. As a user, speaking as a user, not as an insider, I think that there may be a better way to organize the .ca TBR. I think there's a more efficient and more I'm going to use the word profitable with some hesitation, but a more profitable method of allocation, or a more fair method of allocation, perhaps, is a better word than profitable. You know, I don't have a specific view as to what that might be, but certainly it's something that I would like to take to the SEER Board of Directors and have us spend some time examining and figuring out, you know, how we can get great names into the hands of the broadest cross-section of users as we possibly can. I've always been a little bit hesitant around a lot of the drop activity because it's really limited in a lot of cases to the guys with the biggest pockets and the biggest and the most horsepower, and that's just not a great way to run a market. You know, you need a multitude of participants, and you know, I don't think we have that in .ca today.
We certainly have seen a lot of registrars up in .ca. It's certainly a popular string. Thank you for all your contributions of your time to that board. I know it's, you know, benefited quite a bit, and there's quite a strong group of people participating there. So it's impressive to see what comes from it. Well, can you tell us just a little bit more in closing on your ride, circling back around to the your coast-to-coast bicycle ride in Canada, how people can sponsor you and support you? Can we talk about the link one more time?
Absolutely. You know, it's a huge undertaking. We can use all the help we can get. Right now, we're really focusing on securing volunteers, people to join us in a ride, wave us along at the side of the road, and, of course, cash contributions are incredibly important to the effort. We're hoping to raise somewhere near $5 million through this ride. So if we can get people to go to 2008.sncr.com/ross/donate.html and pitch in, that'd be just awesome.
And Ross, also, I wanted to note, it looks like Two Cows has joined the Internet Commerce Association, which is fantastic. Can you comment on what might have attracted Two Cows to step up and participate in the Internet Commerce Association?
Yeah, certainly. ICA is a great organization. You know, one that has it's a relatively new organization, but it's really made its mark. You know, we really need to make sure that the interests of our customers are always looked out for. You know, so we're really looking to support all organizations that can effectively represent the general internet users, support for our domainer customers. You know, it's really the internet policy is more of an ecosystem. So if we can enlist others to the challenge or support them with their challenges, it's always a win-win for us. You know, we prefer to work with as many organizations as we can, and ICA is certainly a great organization.
Well, I know that they're grateful for your support. And, well, Ross, we've come up to the end of the time we have here. Is there anything, any kind of tips or suggestions or things to watch out for in the coming year in the domain industry that you'd like to offer to our listeners before we tie off here?
Wow, things coming up. If I had a crystal ball, I'd be a much richer man, Jonathan. I don't know. Certainly, you know, one of my big drives within my business is towards simplification. I think users are getting a bit fatigued by featureitis, so whether or not that turns into a trend, I don't know, but it's certainly something that I'm really focusing on in the coming year.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we've had the privilege, an opportunity to have Ross Rader from Two Cows on the show this week. Thank you very much, Ross.
Pleasure was all mine, Jeff. Thank you.
And in the coming weeks, we'll be having more great guests on of Ross's caliber, and we'll be able to talk more about different trends and things going on in the industry. Meanwhile, I just want to remind people that next week in Orlando, Florida, is the traffic, targetedtraffic.com, the traffic conference. There's an upcoming auction there. There's also the Paris domainermeeting.eu conference coming up. There's quite a few different things going on. .mobi is doing a rolling set of dinners from city to city. You can find that on the .mobi blog at blog.mobi. And lots of exciting things going on in our industry. It's a great time. And we're really glad to have people in our industry that are taking it out to the people, helping to educate and improve the interest and knowledge in our industry. So I look forward to – I'll be at the Traffic Conference in Orlando next week. I'm looking forward to seeing listeners who will be there present, and I'm hoping that they'll all enjoy the show as immensely as I do, and meeting with legends like Rick Schwartz and Howard New. And, of course, our imperious leader, Monty Kahn, on the Domain Master Show, who I'm filling in for. Well, thank you again for having you spend some time listening to me talk with some guests here on Domain Masters. It's an exciting industry and glad to be a part of it. And until next week, when you'll hear the live webcast of the auction, you can be the master of your domain on Domain Masters. I'm Jonathan Frakes signing off. Thank you.